I don't even know what to do. It's been so long.
I know, right? I don't like, I'm all,
I mean, out like, of it. I feel like I'm about to try to learn how to ride a bike or something.
We're in a new spot.
Yeah.
Like, new stuff.
With my hands.
Yeah. Tony's back. I mean, like,
I'm. Yeah, Tony's back. What?
What happened?
I know.
What happened?
It's different.
I look busted. Fucking long ass day. Yeah. Let's go.
Long week.
Fuck. I love the holidays, but I hate the holidays. I'm going to be honest.
Honestly, as a new parent, like, I mean, she's two now, but the first Christmas was so different. This year was exhausting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We still have presents wrapped under the tree. Like, we still haven't finished. And not even that we had a lot. It was a matter of, like, in the morning, on Christmas morning, we did stockings. And then my dad and I were going to dinner at the long-term care home with mom. And then going to Sarah's parents because her sister is down with all her kids. And both of her kids, not all of her kids. And then we had dinner again. Then went home, put the kids to bed. And then the presents were still there. And we've just been kind of like slowly picking away at them. And I think probably at a certain point, we might just put them away again.
My kid is an absolute savage on the presents, dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, man. She's not getting another present until her birthday.
So the one thing I don't like about Christmas is like, because we always get super hyped for their presents that they want. And I'm like, all right, yeah, let's get them that fucking huge ass kitchen that's going to take me 6.5 hours to put together.
Yeah.
And I'm up till 4 a.m. and then have to turn around and be up at 7:30. And I'm like,
yeah,
yay.
That was this year for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are the not fun Christmases.
I turned out the lights at 5 a.m. and then turned them back on again at 7:30. Like, sweet. Fresh as a daisy.
Yep. Nope. Not my favorite time of the year, that's for sure.
Dad, why aren't you so happy? Oh, shit. That's a deep question right there.
And then you got to cook all day. It just, nah, man. I like how
we went from talking about the challenge before we hit record to not talking about the challenge at fucking all. At fucking all.
We literally were like, we should be recording this right now. Let's hit record. We hit record and then we're like, Let's talk about Christmas.
All right. Well,
but let's get back into the conversation we were having. So before we hit record, we were talking about how we were glad that we didn't record last week and, over the Christmas weekend, because the episode was slow and boring and whatever. And we were glad we didn't waste our time on that. And we just spent the time with our kids and our families. And then we tried to remember what happened in that episode and realized that it was so boring and slow. We couldn't even remember what happened. But that was the one where Kylan was going against Darrell on the weird,
fucking balance.
What'd you call it, Tony?
I called it the
something firecracker. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I called it the balance thing with the firecrackers.
Yeah, something like that. But anyway, and then I brought up how this is what season 29 Invasion of the Champions has over this season of 39, which is somewhat kind of similar to the same idea in my mind. But where on 39, anytime the champions were in an elimination, it was a fan favorite, iconic, old school elimination. Balls in, pole wrestle, not so fast, like, all those ones. But they're not doing that this season. They keep giving the champions these weird fucking brand new eliminations that some guy just cooked up in the fucking basement of the studio. And I don't understand who's making these decisions because they are not the right ones.
First of all, it's the intern that was doing the stats during fucking world championships.
Probably.
Probably. And look, it's just, I want to say it's surprising, but it's not that it, once again, a fucking huge miss. We're bringing back legends recently, and I'm speaking about Laurel. I'm not necessarily talking about Tori and Devin. They're great champions, but they're not legends.
Baby legends.
You're bringing back legends. Darrell. Laurel. Fuck it. You guys probably know who the last three coming are, and you're telling me you're going to give Laurel, of all people, let's pull a chain and paint it and then make her put in colored pegs.
I mean, I'm just saying, though, this isn't the first time that they threw a fucking twisted ass peg elimination at Laurel and she fucked up. And
I thought about it.
Why? For what reason did you guys do this? I think they were fucking with her.
When there was one missing.
Thank you.
Yeah. When there was one missing, I was like, seriously?
And she and what does she say? She goes, "There's, I can't find it. It's not here. So it's not my fault." Is that literally not what she was saying on the one with Ninja? She couldn't find the hole, so it's not her fault. You know what I mean? So I was just like, oh, my God, they did this the fuck with her. I know they did it. Like, that was on purpose.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, I like her tweet where she goes, that's how you know the challenge isn't rigged. Because production asked me what kind of elimination I'd want and who I'd want to go against. And she goes, I want to go against Michelle. And I'm willing to bet it was a pole wrestle, a hall brawl, or a fucking balls in.
Something physical where she could toss her around a little bit.
You know what I mean? And it's just.
That would have been awful for her.
Oh, my God.
I was hoping for it.
But same thing with Darrell last week. You know, like, why did we not get Darrell in a balls in? Why?
Or a pole wrestle.
Or anything where he was closer than halfway across the elimination sand from Kylan. Like, Jordan got one that was catered to what he's capable of. Devin, same deal. Tori, for the most part, like hers is the middle ground. Like, you've got Devin and Jordan who absolutely got challenges that were catered to them. Tori got one that she could probably, given the right circumstances, be good at. And then you've got Kaz, who had to roll around in a tube and collect flags. You had...
At 80 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you had Kylan, who had to, like, or Darrell, who had to, like, balance on a thing, light a firecracker, and hope that he did it quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you've got Laurel, who, yes, it's a puzzle per se, but she gets a puzzle instead of a physical elimination.
No offense at all, but why didn't Casey get this elimination and Laurel get the one that Casey got against Big T?
Yeah.
I kind of forgot Casey even came.
Yeah. And did the little, like, you know, pole wrestle thing.
Yeah.
So, like, why? I don't know. And not that Casey didn't absolutely kill it and do a great job and, you know, whatever, but it's just weird. I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it's once again, not surprised production not doing themselves any fucking justice in making us enjoy the show more than we should.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Anyways, welcome to the Challenge Fandom Podcast. My name's Rick. This is my beautiful wife, Karina. We've got Tony, Stats and Info, Lance. And then we've got Alexis, Tex, Rawson. Did I get that, Rawson?
Yep.
Fuck, I'm on par for being a little rusty.
Right.
Sometimes I forget my own last name because it's pretty new to me.
That's my excuse, too. I got the Tex part right, though.
You did.
I've got that one locked in. Forrest Gump. It's Tex. He's from Cleveland.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
That's only for us older millennials. Don't worry about it.
I know Forrest Gump.
No, I know you do. I was just talking for the listeners.
You guys are about to find out how old I really am because my birthday is coming soon and I'm turning 30.
Oh, dirty 30. Welcome to the club. Welcome. That's awesome.
Really, it is the best years that I've had so far is my 30s. So. Yeah.
It is. We've tested it out for you. It works pretty well.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Actually, I appreciate that.
And the amount of knowledge that you get at the age of 30, like as soon as your birthday hits, it's overload. You're just like,
wisdom. Thank you.
Yeah. That's what I was missing.
Yeah.
There we go.
I need that back. I feel like ever since having a child, I make jokes that she sucked all my brain power out of me because I've just never been dumber since becoming a parent.
No, that's facts. That's just part of the process.
Yeah.
Hard enough to keep her alive, but like she just takes so much of my brain.
At some point, like at 32 to 33, maybe a little bit older, all of a sudden you wake up one morning, you're like, am I sick? I don't feel right. And then you just realize after just a year, that's just how you feel now. And that's, it's like, all right, let's go.
You just always feel sick.
Things hurt when it rains.
Like all of a sudden I'm like, you know what would be nice? An orange soda in a nice warm spot in the sun.
And a good book that I'll put beside me and not read.
Yep.
Yeah.
Maybe a blanket. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. A nice blanket.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Let's go. Challenge Phantom Podcast. Bring you the little things that bring you joy.
Yes.
So, anyways, guys, we're here to recap episode number 11. God damn, we're already at episode 11. The only downside to this is if it was the CBS version, we'd be at the final right now.
I know. Yeah, we'd be going into the finals.
I don't even know if we're halfway.
I think we're halfway.
I think we're going to finish. Like, we've had an entire season of Survivor, and then the next season starts in February. And are we even done this season of the challenge by February? Like, I think we'll have gone through an entire season of Survivor and started another one before this season ends.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, because I don't think it's going to be done before February.
No lie, I was listening to our interview with Tiffany, and she was talking about, oh, I'm watching the season of Survivor. I'm like, fuck, we recorded this a while ago, and we said we were going to watch it, and we never did. I wonder if it's still on. And then I like looked, and was like, no, it ended like 4 weeks ago. I was like, oh, whoops. Shoot.
I did not watch it.
My bad.
Sorry, Tiff.
I did.
Well, yeah, that's
Tony watched here. It for us.
And yeah. You know what? He also
hive minds with Rick. So, you know, and Rick tells me everything. So,
well,
and it's a big sharing circle here.
And shout out to Tony and Jacob, the challenge historian, because they recapped it as Survivor Historian and Survivor Stats and Info.
Yes.
Yep. So if you want to get caught up on that and binge watch and then listen to them, we'll link it below. Mm-hmm. With that being said, let's get into this. So, just like we're getting into it, the show put no time wasted.
Dude.
Right into the nightly.
A nightly?
I mean,
what?
I would like to say they did give them enough time to go home and eat.
I did. Yeah, that was, you know what? Okay.
Before
that
was, eating challenge.
That was my, first of all, that was actually cold as ice.
Yeah.
That was fucked up of them to do, first of all. That was fucked up of them to let them eat, knowing they were going to have to go eat.
Send them home to eat, even.
Yeah, send them home to eat. But here's my thing. TJ said you guys have 1 hour, right?
Yeah.
So that had to have just been for show, because there is no damn way they all got out of the arena, loaded back up into the buses, drove all the way back to the house, because these houses aren't just like in town. Like, these houses are like excluded, like mansions out in like, you know, Timbuk fucking two in whatever city they're in. And so you're telling me they got all the way in the buses, they got everybody back home, got everybody to eat, dressed, back on the buses, and then back to wherever they were meeting TJ in 1 hour. That's what you're going to try to, like, you think I'm stupid. And that's really what I think. And I don't appreciate that. Where are the timers? Where?
I don't really care about the timers between elimination.
No, I don't either. But I'm just saying.
It doesn't really bother me.
I'm just saying, why lie? Like, why lie? What was the point in that specific lie? Just, hey, you guys are going to go home and you're going to, you know, you're going to get dressed and everything, and I'll see you guys in a little bit. Like, why the specific? Anyway, I'll let it go. Moving on.
Sorry. Like how they were all eating eggs.
I thought they were eating rice.
Maybe eggs and rice. Who knows? Maybe.
I was like, oh, my God, they're eating rice. And I have personally puked up rice, and that shit is nasty.
I wonder if any of them expected like a potential eating challenge, because it's like, if you're probably a fan not. Of the, I don't understand.
They don't know what to expect.
The champs would have known.
Well, they keep bouncing it around, though, because like sometimes the only eating portion is in the final now.
Yeah. But there's like, anytime they do like a nightly, though, a night challenge, there's always some sort of like something eating and endurance involved.
Yeah. Either it's a mini final like they did on like the USA and everything else, or it's
eating. Or some sort of eating. Right. And so it like, that's what I mean. Like that's where like the experience, I guess, comes in. Cause like, I feel like the vets, like if Bananas was in the house, he would have known we're going to be eating, and I ain't fucking eating right now. Fuck these guys. You know,
speaking of experience in this new cast versus like a little bit of seasoned cast, I didn't see any like restrictions on that food. Like, it was disgusting. I mean, I guess I didn't see any balls, but like there, it was definitely not like vegetarian or vegan friendly.
Oh yeah.
No.
Vegetarian was the spicy surprise or whatever the hell it was.
Was supposed to be for that. Right. Because
you get that option.
Yeah. Cause who was it that vegetarian or something like that. Right. And so, yeah. And she took that, but at the same time, she freaking can't deal with spicy stuff. She's like, Tabasco like makes me like cry and sweat. I'm like,
better option than pig snout.
Yeah, I was happy to see some nasty stuff on this one.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah,
me
absolutely too. I mean,
I was over the onion and garlic thing. Like,
no,
I eat that shit for fun. That's not no.
She does. That's no lie. She'll sit there and eat raw onion.
I'm not lying. I'm literally not lying. Literally not lying.
It's fucking weird as shit.
This shit is so good.
I just look
I love
at
raw like, onions and raw garlic. I love
like
it.
Like white onion or red or yellow?
All of them.
All of them. Doesn't matter. All. Just onion. She eats it. Yeah, she's a soldier.
I love it.
And I'm over here at McDonald's like, can I get my cheeseburger with no onion, please?
Or like when we go out, like and get like a good burger, you know, and the ring onions they put it on. He always takes it off and he just puts it on my plate. And I'm just like, yum. This shit's so good. I love it.
Fucking gross.
That's where we don't hive mind because I'm with Karina on this one.
Yeah.
No, I'm good. See? Like a big ass just hunk of raw onion.
Yeah. So good.
Maybe you like.
I eat raw lettuce too, see, though. Like
this is this
weird.
Who eats cooked lettuce, Karina?
I'm weird. Like, I will literally just peel a leaf
she's
of lettuce off.
She's a fucking rabbit, bro. She's just a small fucking rabbit that goes around.
I like that you said raw lettuce as if there's a group of people that eat cooked lettuce.
Okay, I meant like lettuce, like just all by itself. Like, not like
it's called a salad, Karina. It's called a salad.
But just eat it.
See, that's how I know we could win at the CBS version of the challenge, because you guys can knock out the eating and we'll really struggle at the rest of it, like the endurance. It's a well-rounded team.
Right? Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Socially, we'll know who everyone is. Look, all right. So I'm gonna spoil something because I'm assuming that our listeners know which bets are coming.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So my question is, which one of the challengers in the house right now are going to know who Brad is?
Oh, my God. I've thought that so many times.
Like, other than Kylan.
Corey would. Like, Jay would.
Yeah, Jay will. But pretty much anybody, any of them, that, but not as many as should.
Not enough.
No.
For it being a mercenary.
And that's what I'm saying. Like,
as a viewer, you understand, like, how big of a deal this is. But those people don't know. They don't know. His leather cuff and what is coming for them. Did you guys see his bracelet in the preview?
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's a necklace.
Now it's a necklace.
Yeah. Fuck.
Ah, how do we not? We're going to have that now, by next week on the
in
board.
The preview, like the preview for next week showed him the mace at his feet again. Like, so did they really give like Brad, CT and Kara the mace of chaos, but then not give Laurel. It to Laurel?
Yeah,
yes, I don't think so. Weird.
Wanted to use it.
In my personal opinion, that was a shot of
here's CT. So
and
here's
that's what I thought, but it was like the next week on.
I'm gonna say something right now that's gonna sound really fucking weird, probably especially to my husband. But I'm gonna tell you guys right now. I know I am 99.99999% sure and comfortable saying that those are CT's legs. Those are his calf's muscles. And I know it. I know it.
So that was
a shot of CT. Now, does that mean, I love you so much, baby. Does that mean that they're tricking us and using that shot to throw us off about Brad coming next? Or is CT actually coming next? Would they fuck with us that much and bring CT before they bring Brad?
Why would because they then, Brad well, for last?
Well, because Brad was
availability.
Like Brad was a last minute fill in for Bananas.
That's what I'm saying. Like maybe availability, you know. So I don't know. Like there would be a possibility we would see CT next.
But then why would you save Bananas over CT for elimination?
It might not have been that way. What I'm saying is originally when Bananas was coming this week would have been Bananas. Yeah. But since they had to replace him with Brad might have said, yeah, I can come, but I can't come until this week. And so then they had to move shit around. But I don't know. That's just literally just my mind like fucking going off and crazy shit and like completing stories that I know nothing about. So
I only expect them to give the mace to CT and Kara. So it was really weird that they showed it on the next time on because I was I'm not anticipating CT to be the vet until the end.
So
I think they're just throwing us off. I think they're using that shot of CT's feet with the mace at his feet to just throw us off, to make us think CT's coming next, because they think we don't look at spoilers.
I mean, they could even, you know how they do their shots. They're like, okay, everybody like hold something up. Like maybe they give them blank props to do their little scenes with. So that way we think about it super hard and think we know what's happening. And then
and here's actually something that I was actually talking with a listener of ours, and I can't remember her name. I'm stuck at this. But anyway, we were talking about this like a week ago, was the possibility that, and we know that this happens because we've heard it from numerous challengers across MTV and CBS, is that when they shoot like the promo photos and videos and stuff like that, they pretty much have everybody do every shot, and there's like a bunch of them, and then they go through and they pick their favorite ones. So I'm wondering if everybody got a shot of holding the mace, and that's just part of the promo. And in fact, CT is not going to walk out with a mace, and he's going to get a regular setup like every other Merc has. And that's just a promo shot they're using to throw us off.
I think that they'll catch a lot of heat if they do it, but it doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
Yeah, they don't care about catching heat, I don't think.
Because people still watch.
Exactly.
Look, I think they are trying to draw in viewers as much as possible. So they're trying to draw up the idea that CT could be next, because if you're going to watch CT, you have to watch the whole episode and wait till the last 10 to 15 minutes.
Yes.
Smart. So they're going to have him tune in for the next 2 weeks.
Smart. That's really smart, actually.
And yes, I do know that, and I don't question without a doubt that, you know, those are CT's legs. But with that being said,
but do you think that the bracelet was CT's leather cuff?
He borrowed it from Brad to throw us off.
I didn't even notice it. Was it in the exact same shot, or was there a cut? You know what I mean?
I cheat a little bit. I wish Katie was here, because she plays the Challenge Fantasy on Facebook. So at the end of every episode, I record the next on, because there's always questions about it on the fantasy. Right. So I just distinctly remember this biker leather dad cuff, like a thick leather band around the wrist. And I don't know, it just screams Brad to me.
It's Brad.
It's definitely Brad.
I just don't see CT wearing some shit like that. And we know those are the only two left.
Yeah.
But who knows? Who knows what they're doing?
And here's the thing is, regardless, if you wait the next 3 weeks, you're going to see all three. Just what order?
And that's what they want you to do.
Exactly. Anyways, getting into this daily, the first part of it, or nightly, I should say, is they have to go run at, answer some trivia questions, really easy trivia questions.
I was going to say, what did you guys think of these?
You'd think that.
These trivia. Yeah, you would think that. Don't ask Jay or Raven, though. What did you guys think about these trivia questions?
The only one I didn't know was the WWE, the wrestling one.
Did get that one wrong. We both said The Rock on that one.
Yeah.
But. So do you think that they noticed that when the boxes were super heavy that it was wrong?
Yeah, but I think once you pick it, that you can't switch to the right one. You know what I mean?
Because
obviously then, so you only get like whichever one you grab first, that's the one you have to take.
Yeah, well, from a production standpoint, it was really smart that the code, first off, if you're doing a thing like this and it's all like occult type stuff, it stands to reason that your code is going to be 666. However, if every single box that every single team is carrying is a six, then they can take whatever shots they want from the entire nightly and just put it wherever, because every box that anyone is going to be carrying is going to have a six on it.
Yeah.
I just wonder why they did all of that. Like, what's the point? Just carry the boxes when you're done. Take the lid off the plate of food and eat it. Like, do we really need you to have a code that unlocks something so you can eat your food? Like, why?
Absolutely.
Well, they couldn't get any bombs, so they had to do locks.
I'm just saying,
they've got to have some kind of prop, you know?
Like, it's just so over the fucking top for no fucking reason.
No reason.
Like,
it was a subtle play to what was going to happen in the elimination. They got the code and then they moved the chain, which then came into play in the elimination between Raven and Laurel.
I see what you're trying to do there, but I'm not believing that connection at all. And I'm just going to say, like, they overcomplicate shit all the time. Like, something very simple, which is just move these boxes, and one's heavier if you get the wrong answer. And right. when you're done moving them, eat the food. And the first one done wins. Like, why do we yeah. need the chain and the why?
Because why are you carrying the boxes, Rick? What's your motivation to carry the boxes?
So you can eat the food.
But I don't want to eat the food.
Then you lose and you go into elimination. Okay. I mean, there's your motivation. But
there's a chain there, too.
I mean, it's weird. It's like they forgot what worked the first 28 seasons.
Yeah, exactly. It's so stupid. Speaking of the first 28 seasons.
29, whatever.
Did anyone else? So, first of all, just jumping back a little bit, when they first walk into the elimination arena, did anyone else get like Rivals 2 Nightmare Island vibes, but like nighttime, where the little area where they had to go in and eat all that crazy fucking shit that they had to eat on the Rivals 2 final, and they had all the skulls and all the shit everywhere? Like, I literally felt like this was like that same setup, but at night. I was like, did they just pull all the same props from yeah. Rival 2 and just set it all back up
from the warehouse?
I don't know. And I didn't know if it was just me, but like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh my God, this literally looks like Nightmare Island from Rivals 2. Like, what?
Go ahead.
Emmanuel said it looks like the inside of his grandma's house. He's used to all that spooky shit.
I like how fucking Olivia was like, I ate raw liver in Alaska once, so I'm pretty prepped for this.
Yeah, the lie detector determined that was a lie.
Her face when Raven fucking puked on her. Oh my God, that was glorious.
Well, and then, so I heard this on the official podcast. But I don't even want to repeat it. It's so gross. Okay,
so I'll do it for you.
Oh, it was so gross. I can't even repeat it.
So Olivia got the pig snout and she was chewing it up and coughed some out, and it landed on Raven's gloves, and Raven didn't know, so it went to wipe her face from all the spicy stuff
and wiped it
all over her fucking nose and mouth.
Oh,
I hope she didn't try to clean her tongue off too.
Oh, that's really fucking gross. That's really fucking
gross. You're welcome. It's the first thing I thought about when I heard that.
Oh,
that's where my brain went.
But the image of Emmanuel holding the snout, and it's just like a perfect outline, like it's a perfect top of the snout.
Oh my God.
Was like the.
Yeah. Props to fucking Ed, though.
Well, I was literally about to say, what does Ed eat on a regular basis? Because that boy did not budge. He was fine.
He's a total workout horse this entire competition. Like,
which one was he eating? He was eating the like the skin and
colon
stew.
It looked like broth. Ugh.
Yeah,
that's fucking disgusting.
So there's four of us here. What are you taking? I'm not taking the chili one because I love my insides too much. I'm probably gonna go brain soup and do the exact same thing that James did, just like pound it back and be done with it.
I don't know. I mean,
dude, I have to take
I can't do the pig liquid. Snout. Yeah, it's gonna be a fight. It's gonna be a fight between us four. This is where our alliance breaks, okay? Because it is fucking first come, first serve to that brain soup or that damn oil chili shit, because I cannot eat the other two. I would not be able to.
Here's the thing. I grew up poor and I've eaten a lot of questionable things. Like, I've gotten a hot dog off of a street vendor in Tijuana one time at like 2 a.m.
What's wrong with you?
I mean, granted, everything that was on that table is probably in a hot dog anyway. So
exactly.
And for sure. Yeah.
And look, there's a trick to it. Like, they mentioned this on the Challenge podcast, but it's pretty common knowledge that you only have five types of taste receptors from what I've learned.
Yeah.
But a lot of the secondary taste that you get is through your sinuses and your nostrils. Mm-hmm. So if you plug your nose and eat something or drink something, it actually really helps mitigate some of that.
Yeah.
So that is a way to do it. But with that being said, like, whatever you guys don't pick, I'll eat the pig snout. I'll eat the fucking colon.
You gotta eat the snout,
man. I'll fucking do both of them. I don't care.
The fact that it like specifically states skin is what throws me off.
That's sick.
What are you talking about, dude? Like, do you like pork rinds?
I get that, but those are also like deep fried, not in a stew.
In a stew.
I eat chicken skin.
And?
Cooked.
Cooked.
I like chicken skin. And I remember you guys having a conversation about chicken skins on the podcast one time. That's how you know you love each other, because you like give the other person the chicken skins and stuff.
No, I didn't give it to him. He stole it. Fuck you. Okay. No, you stole my fucking chicken.
Way to chicken. Bring it up, Alexis.
And I still, I, you know what?
We were having a nice time, and then you had to drag that back up.
You know what? Fuck it. I'm not eating your food now. You can eat your own fucking skin and colon dish.
Thank you.
Karina's going back to raw lettuce.
Yeah, you can have it. That's my payback. I took your chicken skin. You can have the skin and colon
stew. No, that's not the same. That is not the same.
That's fair. Skin for skin. Both got a little skin in this game.
Karina, you can make a lettuce wrap. You'll be fine.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I got the spicy liquid.
I'm sorry. All I thought was Alexis is going to be like Ashley after fucking Invasion of Champions when they did the curry run. You took the one thing that brought me joy.
Apparently, Colleen and whoever else was drinking it was having a real hard time afterwards.
Oh, well, I bet.
I'm going to be honest. I was extremely surprised that the team of Corey, James, Colleen, and Mariah won. I thought Emmanuel, Horacio, Zara,
and Berna.
And Berna was going to win it. But then I saw Berna trying to do that hot sauce drink, and it was not the business for her.
Berna's fucking line, though, when everybody's like throwing up, she's like, it's a little bit like ayahuasca. It's not good, though.
Not good.
Lost it. I was like, that was funny, Berna. That was fucking funny.
They said that they eat brain soup regularly in Turkey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, yeah. I was like, what?
In Turkey, they eat brain soup like for dinner, but I don't like it.
Yeah, like that's understandable. Crazy. Yeah, I wouldn't like it either.
So glad I'm American and we eat cheeseburgers.
It's so true. Same, because I could
like
not.
That the team that won was the team that had like no concrete alliances with anybody. Like they're yeah. sort of like the floating group where they're in alliances, but they're not totally trusted all the time within their alliances. But now they're all safe.
Right.
Yeah. It was interesting to see the way that all went down. Side note, though, I remember talking to my grandmother who was from Holland in the 30s. And I was like, so what did you guys eat for dinner all the time? Like chicken and stuff like that? She's like, no, chicken was a delicacy. We ate horse. And I was like, wow, that is different.
Yep.
So,
cool. Thanks, Grandma.
Yeah. Changed my perspective on that. Awesome. Anyways, secondly, going to that team winning and that elimination, that deliberation that they had, are you guys surprised that they picked Raven?
No.
That I don't know. Like, honestly, at this point, with how like flippy floppy everything has fucking been all season, like, and I know that everybody keeps saying that this season is boring, but man, like somebody's flipping every fucking week. You know what I mean? So I wasn't super surprised or anything. But I did expect James to back Mariah a little bit more, knowing that at this point in the game, Raven is Mariah's number one and vice versa. And I got confused at this point because James says in his confessional that, you know, Raven and Olivia or whatever voted for him like in the past on the season or whatever. And I was thinking the same thing. I was like, yeah, like she voted for him. Why is she getting so mad? And I was like, fuck this. What the fuck? But then I listened to the official podcast, and obviously I'm not going to go back and watch 10 fucking episodes just to see if she ever voted for him. But she swears up and down that she has never once placed a vote on James. So then I was like, okay, so she does have, like, she has been having his back because he's been with Mariah and blah, 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 blah. So now I understand why she's mad. And then when I watched it the second time, I was like, you get him, girl. You fucking called him bitches out. Like, I was so here for that call out on that second watch through. I was like, yes, this is amazing.
I get why she's mad, like, obviously, because she got put into elimination. But really, it's one of those situations where it's sort of the Tristan and Kellyanne problem that I had when we were watching Worlds, in that there's no one else left because Mariah wasn't going to throw in the ride or die girls, which does include Raven, but for some reason at the bottom. And James isn't going to throw in Zara because she's the only person that he has left apart from Mariah.
Right.
So
but I thought like Berna, like I thought like what? Because
Corey and
Corey and
Colleen said no.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they were protecting, like, there's a lot of people that are protecting Berna, and I'm not 100% sure why. And I don't mean that as a slight against Berna, but every time you see her in the house, like even at the beginning of the episode, when everybody's eating, she's at a table by herself and yep. everybody else is at another table. And then some of the people that were at that very table, not having dinner with Berna, are then saying that they won't vote for Berna.
Yeah, yeah, like it's just weird.
It is odd. I did like after they announced that they're going to be voting Raven, that there was no hesitation from her to start talking right away and yep. be like, so you have no voice, mm-hmm. you know, all of that. And
dude, I loved it.
Yeah,
it I loved great. This so much.
It reminds me so much of older challenges.
Yeah,
that's like the interactions we got. It's yes. like yep. it was visceral.
She says what she needs to say, but she is also controlled.
100%. Yes.
I like that about her. She doesn't lose her shit. She doesn't lose her head, but she's still not afraid to call people out on their shit. You know what I mean? And yeah. I really fucking like that. And yeah. again, kind of going back to her interview on the official podcast, you know, when they talked to her about this, she had said that, you know, she like the people that she kind of like looks up to is like Laurel and like Cam and stuff like that, where they just play and they're not going to give a fuck about next season or next whatever. Like they're just going to play for right now, for this game, for today, for this money. And that's what we fucking need. Like stop playing safe shit because you want a chance to win in four seasons. Like play right now. And I love that she's playing right now.
You know what I loved is Corey's little dance when she was fucking walking away. Did you catch that look Michelle gave?
The sideways glance.
Yeah, the sideways glance. Like yeah. she was just like... Like, don't you fucking embarrass me out here.
Dude, that dance, Corey does that dance every time he talks shit to people. Like, that's that same one he did to Huey in yeah, the elimination. No. Like,
that's his shit.
Anytime, yep. like, I love Corey, but anytime that it does not go well in a confrontation, I actually legitimately wrote, with Corey Lay, confrontation leads to gyration. Because it's that move every time. And I messaged him. I was like, look, it's hilarious, but every it. Time mm-hmm. it's the shimmy. Like
yep. it is
every single yep. time. And I'm not mad at it. It's not hilarious. A
signature move.
Yeah.
You yep. know what I mean?
I love it. I love it, dude. He's got his own little thing, his own, you know, this is the end of the confrontation of the fight. Like this is that marks the end yeah. of it.
He goes fuck from like you. 0 to 60 and then does a dance and that's does what a happens.
Shimmy. Yeah. And that's, yeah. that's it. That's the end. You ain't getting nothing after that.
Honestly, how do you form a rebuttal to that?
Yeah, like what do you even say? What do you yeah. even do? Like
maybe I'll start using that tactic like in my own life.
You should.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
Just remember these words. Confrontation leads to gyration.
I wonder how like people at work would take that. oh my god. I'd get fired, but
there's one way to find out.
Hear you say needy greedy and they're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
the audacity.
I say that shit. That
I get called out on that all the time because I'm so used to just saying audacity. And now like when I have to say the actual word like audacity, it feels so wrong. It feels so wrong. It's yeah, it's like that's not right. That's gotta be wrong.
So after the nightly daily and nightly
something like that.
Well, after that we go to this ad from Spotify from podcasters.
This episode is brought to you by Skinny Pop Popcorn. Perfectly popped, endlessly delicious. Oh, so light and crunchy. Skinny Pop Original Popcorn is the snack you've been searching for. Made with just 3 simple ingredients, popcorn kernels, sunflower oil, and salt. Snacking never felt or tasted so good. Perfectly popped, endlessly delicious. Give yourself permission to snack and pick up Skinny Pop Original Popcorn today.
Just like we're ready to come back from this ad from Spotify for podcasters.
All right. You want the break music?
No, let's just roll with it right here. I'm okay. Fucking on fuego.
Get it.
Welcome back from listening to that lovely ad from Spotify from podcasters. I believe that was Tony that was giving you the real stats and info.
Pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah.
You sound great Spotify. On those commercials. All of you do.
Tony is the award winner.
2 years of working in radio.
Yeah. Mine's from Karina, like, hey, we need to record this commercial. I'm like, all right, I'm really stoned, but let's do it. Words are hard.
Words are hard.
So I forgot that the title of this was My Own Worst Frenemy. And stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
I don't even know who the title was referring to at this point.
Thank you, right?
Exactly. Like, who's frenemy?
I don't. Because, like, Raven and Zara seem to have aligned now.
Yeah.
So they're not enemies and not fake friends.
Yeah.
And nope, I don't know. Like, I don't even want to talk about it because I don't care, but I don't understand who they were actually referring to with the title.
I mean, based on what like Raven was saying in the official podcast, like maybe this would have been useful 2 weeks ago when Melissa was still in the house, because yeah. Apparently Raven and Melissa got along pretty well in the beginning and then it went sour.
Yeah.
When, you know, Raven had no choice or Melissa had no choice because of the situation she was in. Anyways. Getting back into the house, first thing we get is Kylan and Horacio talking about how they want to play the rest of this out. We already know this with Kylan and Horacio, and I like to refer to it as the Goku complex, which is they want to go against the best. They don't want the sure route to win the money. They need to know that they won the money against the very best people that are there. And like Horacio wants to save Zara. Yeah. And because she's a strong woman and he wants to compete against her, what's your guys' thoughts on this way of approaching the game?
So I actually agree with Horacio, and I will tell you why. I wouldn't want to run the final with Zara, but they know that the next portion of this game after Chaos is a way to build their money back up again. Mm-hmm. So conceivably, you want to have some of the stronger people left. So you can actually build the money back up. Otherwise, if you just take everybody who you don't want to run a final against into the third section of the game before the final, then chances are you're only going to have the amount of money that you started section three with. Like, you're not banking much more than that.
Exactly.
So I think that he's doing the right thing. Like, obviously, he's going to want to get rid of Zara before a final happens. Mm-hmm. But you're going to need stronger people in the third portion of this game if you want to make any more money than you get after you potentially lose more from the vets. They could lose right. 30 more, like 30 grand from here on out.
They could. No, I agree 100% with everything you just said, Tony. And like, that's exactly what I was going to say. And the only thing that I'll add on to that is that for someone like Horacio to, you know, understand that Zara is a really good competitor, but not be threatened by her. You know, obviously other people in the house are experiencing something different, right? Because Horacio has confidence in his own abilities. So he doesn't feel threatened by potentially having to run that final with Zara, if that means he can keep her to help him make the pot a little bit bigger in, you know, level three. And I also understand, you know, the other side of it where like a lot of the girls and some of the other guys even are like, dude, I do not want to run against Zara. So we got to get her out because they are not confident in whether or not they'd be able to beat her, you know? And so I think that that's where that difference is, because I did notice that, yes, Kylan is normally, when we talk about him, he's normally included in that like Goku complex thing that we talk about. But I've noticed this season that Kylan is more like kind of moving to that side of let's get rid of the strong players, because in this moment he was telling Horacio that he wanted to get Zara out, and Horacio was like, I'm going to be honest with you, dude, I'm not going to vote for Zara. I want her here, you know? So, but Kylan was talking about, you know, we need to get the strong people out. We need to get people like, so we're voting for Zara, blah, blah, blah. So I feel like Kylan's almost like, I don't want to say like the fear factor or whatever, but I almost feel like because he's played the challenge before and it didn't work out for him that way, that he's almost approaching it from a different, you know, side this time.
It would make sense for him to do it because the reason is because it's a flawed strategy. And I respect your opinion on this, guy, both of you guys, But no, get rid of the people that can beat you. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to beat them. And I understand Horacio's perspective on this. Mm-hmm. And he thinks anyone can beat, he can beat anyone. And it's great to have that. And it's even better to know that I'm so good that I can beat everybody and the best of players. But at the same time, that's not a guarantee. Look, we've seen Kara go in against Zach, where Zach dominated the whole first day. And then because of a switch of a pot, Kara wins.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because someone's a little bit better at puzzles or someone's a little bit better at eating. Like, yeah. No, get rid of these strong players so your road to the final and winning the final is easier.
I mean, that's
and they should be trying to get rid of the strong players while the mercenaries are coming in to take them out.
Thank you.
I don't understand, but it's all like a puppet game. And
well, and again, I think this goes back to the perspective, right? Because to Horacio, Zara is not really a threat, yeah. But someone like Kyland, even though he's like aligned with him, could potentially be a threat to him, or someone like Corey Lay. You know what I mean? So I think it's all down to perspective of who's actually a threat to you and who can you actually use or utilize in level three.
My thing is if I'm going into this, even if I'm Horacio or I'm Kyland, I don't want to run a final against Corey Lay. Mm-mm. I don't want to run a final against Zara because Zara's proved that she can do it. She's got the build and that's like her specialty. Like if Jenny West is in there, you're telling me you want to run a final against Jenny West? You want to run a final against CT?
No. But he's not saying that he wants to run a final against her. He's saying that he wants to keep her around.
Yeah.
I think
because he's already been in the position where he had Berna on his team and saw that Berna wasn't able to keep up with the other members of that team.
Right.
So he's more interested in removing that player so that he can have a stronger group going into Section 3, knowing that there's still going to be eliminations. Now,
understandable, but
he's also won a lot of eliminations too, right? So if he has to go in and send people home, then he's also confident in doing that. And I'm not saying that his way is the right way and the only way, but for Horacio, it's the right way. Corey Lay wants to get out Horacio. That's also a very fucking smart idea too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's my thing is Horacio's not going to go against Zara as far as we know. You know what I mean? Like if Zara's in there, she's a final threat, not an elimination threat.
Right.
My question is if you get rid of the weaker people, but you don't want to run a final against Zara, who's left to take her out?
Michelle
is at the bottom of this fucking poll on almost every single situation except for the social read of the game.
Olivia.
It was the first name that I thought of that was female.
I know. Olivia, if it's a physical, yes. But I don't know if she beats her in an endurance.
Yeah. I don't know.
Nerissa is scrappy too, but it all depends on how it shakes out. Like basically everyone that's left is a coin flip over who wins against whoever else.
And I mean, to me, like as far as running a final, I think it's Zara, Nerissa. And I think if Michelle could get to a final, if her endurance is good enough, she could do some real damage because she's good at puzzles.
Right.
That's like Jay too, right? Like they need to get to a final, but they're potentially built for one.
Right.
Michelle exactly. had that moment where she was like, I've been on four seasons and I haven't made it to a final. Like,
so
that's not that much.
I have a question about that. And I wrote it in my notes because I didn't want to forget. That audio is completely off with the audio from the rest of those conversations. And then it's back to, and it doesn't look like the video matches up with what she's actually saying. And then when it goes to her actual face, it doesn't look like she's in a state where she would have sounded like that in the audio. Like it sounds like that audio was lifted from somewhere else and put there.
I'm sure it was. I mean, we've heard John A say that they've taken audio from seasons ago and input it into a current season. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Because she didn't even look like she looked like stressed, but she didn't look visibly upset.
She was so whiny this whole episode about Laurel that I didn't catch it.
I didn't even
you know
notice,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Do they know ahead of time or was she just banging the Laurel drum, assuming that she would be there at some point?
I think. Do you want me to take this or you want to go?
No, I was just going to say, like, one, I think that a lot of the cast looks at cast spoilers before they leave, just like fans do. So they have a general idea of who's expected to be there, et cetera. And then also on top of that, this was a point that, you know, Rick actually brought up the other night because I said the same thing. I was like, did production like tell her or what the fuck's going on? Why is she so set on this? There's only so many female champion like goats, right? And they know, she knows they haven't seen Laurel. She knows they haven't seen Kara. And that's pretty much all that's left as far as like, you know, like the best of the best of women, female champions that still currently play.
Yeah, because Evelyn's not showing up.
Right. Evelyn's not going to show up. They're not going to bring Veronica. You know what I mean? Like, and not to saying Veronica is the best of the best, but I'm just saying as far as like champion numbers, technically Veronica is up there. And we're not even going to get into that anyway. So, you know, I don't know if it was just like she said in her confessional that it was like intuition. She just like felt it
in her gut.
But I think that maybe some of them knew which mercenaries were coming. And she just assumed like, OK, we haven't seen Laurel yet. It's probably Laurel.
Well, and here's my thing is all those if you look at the live shots of her talking about Laurel, there's one where she talks in a group saying, hey, yeah, I fucked over this champion and we could see her kind of thing. But every one where she was nervous was a confessional, and they're all wearing the same clothes, every single confessional. So that tells me that the confessional was filmed at the end of the season, recapping what has happened. So if that's the case, then she's talking past tense and they're just taking everything she said about Laurel and packing it into this episode. Because that's
or that they just like when I think it was when they filmed USA, Tyson was talking about how they had to wear the same clothes every time that they did confessionals. So not necessarily that it was filmed at the end,
right?
But just that every time that they do confessionals, they have like the same outfit or like the same two outfits or whatever that they wear for confessionals.
Yeah, exactly. And who was it we talked to who talked to us about the schedule? There's like their off day and then they have like a challenge day. Then they have the elimination day and then they have a confessional day. Where they go, so like every week they film confessionals where they go and they sit down and then they answer questions about what happened that week during the daily, the elimination, whatever. So it is definitely filmed post everything that happened, but I don't think they're filmed everything all at the very end of the season. But they are getting way better about making everybody wear the exact same outfits because they used to not be so strong on that. But they're getting super tight on that. Like they're wearing the exact same outfit every single fucking week.
No, I mean, honestly, guys, I really think it is all filmed at the end because everybody looks the exact same. There's no variation to anything. Nerissa's hair is the same hair every week. Michelle's hair is the same curls and the same everything. She's got the same makeup every Mariah fucking week. Mariah has
the same butterfly clips in her bangs.
And they have not moved once. And there is no way you recreate that every fucking other day. Like, it's not possible.
Yeah, maybe.
I really think that. And I mean, I wonder what you guys think at home or wherever you are listening in your car, whatever. What do you think? Do you think it's been all filmed at once or do you think they're filming it as it goes?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Let us know.
I say as it goes, but also like, they would have a continuity person, same as you would have on like a TV show where this person picks up this coffee at this point or it's at this position, blah, blah, blah. So that you have to make sure that everything is good with continuity. So you don't have a Starbucks cup in a Game of Thrones scene.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm just saying you were expecting Bunim and Murray to do that when Game of Thrones can't pull it off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Not expecting much there.
Yeah. So anyways, one thing I did want to talk about, even though it wasn't a club scene, we got an ABC party, which I had no fucking clue. What is an ABC party?
They said it and I was like, I thought they were on CBS.
Yeah. And I was like, and then I think it was like Olivia or I forget who said it. It's anything but clothes. I was like, oh,
Mariah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, no,
I would never be invited.
No, I've never been invited. And the good reason behind so. That's why I wear flannels. I look like fucking what's his name from Home Improvement, the co-host.
Oh my
God. Al, yeah.
Oh my God.
There you go. Enjoy that one. Anyways,
that's funny. Who do you hang on. Oh, go ahead.
I thought it was funny like what they had to use for props. Like, they even had wrapping paper. Why the hell did they have wrapping paper in there?
I was, okay, thank you. I was like, where did the wrapping paper come from? Where did all this shit come from? But I'm wondering where the
rubber gloves come from.
Whose outfit? Who had the best outfit of the night?
Oh, Emmanuel.
I appreciated Emmanuel's glove.
Fucking middle finger.
Middle finger on his forehead.
Yes,
that was great. That was really great. I loved Corey as Callum's hamper. Like, that was fucking that was hilarious. Great. And not only was it hilarious and well thought out, but it was like multi-purposeful, right? It was multifunctional because he was also using it as like a social play in the game to like appease Michelle and like make her laugh and try to like, you know, smooth some ground out there. So I was like, dude, I personally have to give it to Corey just for that, because he took his outfit to the next level. Like, he leveled it up.
I do like that Asaf was like, I dressed myself and I dressed properly.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
That was good.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Nerisse, though, I just want to know, did she like the little streamer? Did she like super glue it to her stuff? Like, how did that stay right there all night?
And had electrical tape over his nipples.
Nerisse had like a mesh purple like bralette type thing.
Did I just miss that completely?
There was something under her balloons.
Okay, because I thought it was just like the little streamer with the balloon. Okay.
Was Olivia just wearing a necklace?
I was going to ask. Because when Nerisse came down, they had like some blurring going on because of where the balloons were moving.
Right.
But then like Olivia had like a Venetian blind on her front.
I think with Olivia's shirt, it had like nude mesh underneath it. Gotcha. And then like the things over it. But I mean, you've seen these girls, you've seen what they wear on and off the show. Like, that was her own shirt.
Yeah, no, I exactly. I agree. And you know, whatever, man, she paid a lot of money for them things. If she wants to show them off, girl, more power to you.
No, I'm not mad at any of them. I know.
I was going to say that Mariah had the best outfit because she was.
That was actually really thought out. That was thought out with like
her James and Zara.
Like Tarzan, and then he had like Zara and Raven and like the little Tarzan bikini things. That was thought out well.
But I mean, like, yeah, no, I've just never gone to one of these parties because I don't have a six pack and look like a Calvin Klein model.
I carry a six pack. That's as close as I get.
Yeah, 12 pack sometimes. Yeah. Fucking watch out. Two of them.
Two.
High mind.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Anyways, we get a little bit of talk in this as far as like Zara going around talking to, I think it was like Michelle and Olivia, you know, trying to.
Oh, they would not even give that girl a straight answer.
I did appreciate how she approached it, though, because she was like, are you going to be voting for me? And then they kind of like skirted around it. She's like, OK, cool. I just need to know when I win, whether or not I can say names now.
Yeah, it just makes it easier for me to say people's names when I know where I stand with them. And I was like, oh, girl.
So this is why I agree with some people that I don't like some of these new cast members, which is, why are you not giving conflict in this situation and saying, yes, I'm voting for you?
Right.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to be nice? Well, I don't know. Maybe
I'm going to do what's best for me.
Yeah, that understand. Yeah, no, that makes sense. No. I'll see what I can do.
But like, I'm probably going to vote for you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm just you.
Say what you say in the deliberation the night before, because they always say, I'm voting for you, but I hope you come back.
Yeah, like.
Say that.
Why didn't anybody use the bowl of oranges from Deliberation Circle for their anything but clothes party?
Right?
I would have done that. Like that a coconut bra, but like an orange peel bra.
Yeah, that would have been amazing.
That's really good.
Still, one of the best lines to come out of deliberation was when Kieran walked in and he just said, who's going to be the first one to throw one of these things?
Right.
So I think the only other really big thing from this party was the fact that outside of one other thing, but one of the big things was we see the official start in this episode of Horacio. And Nerisse's relationship starting.
So used to saying those two names together from 38.
My bad. But with that being said, you know, they're out there playing soccer at one point.
And that was
then,
cute. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they show up together at this party and we get the kiss scene. And which is surprising because we know Horacio from what we've heard in ride or dies and talking to him. He's not big on the PDA, I'm assuming.
Right. Yeah.
But it's cute to see it start, and then we kind of get the fallout of that a little bit later. Not even fallout, but just like, I don't know.
A little bit of a bump in the road with the, you know, her finding out. Obviously, they didn't air exactly what it was on the episode, but we know now that it's airing and he's already there filming, is that he's on Exatlan for...
Exatlan,
what?
Yeah.
Exatlan for All-Stars, I think. It's like an All-Stars thing. So anyway, you know, Nerys obviously struggles with that information, knowing that when they get out of the house, he's literally got to like leave almost immediately. So there wouldn't be a lot of...
And for like, a long time.
Yeah. 8 months.
Yeah. You said 8 months?
Yeah, 8 months.
You can almost cook a baby in 8 months. That is a long time.
Yeah.
Well, I believe the preferred term is grow.
Sorry. I mean, you can cut that. You should cut that.
You heard it here first. Tex cooks babies.
Challenge Shanda podcast brought to you by the Olive Garden. You're here, your family.
Okay, but you know what I meant. It's a long time.
Oh, that was so great. Oh, I needed that. Oh, that was great.
I don't even know how we're going to come back from this, but we are. Anyways.
Oh, sorry. Hang on.
That was a long time, though. Yeah. That is a long time for him to be gone. And, you know, best of luck to him on this. It seems like they're doing well from what we know now.
Yeah.
And I do really like that as much as there's the turmoil there that's happening now on the show, we also know that she went out and surprised him on set.
Right.
For like where he's currently filming. So as much as there's that turmoil and that like, how's it going to play out for them? We also know that they're still going strong. And it's kind of nice to see that real world connection, because not very rarely do we actually hear somebody talk about something outside of the show and then actually see it play out.
Right. Exactly. No. And I loved that. I loved seeing that scene, you know, of her showing up there on set. You know, it almost was like, you know, like the family visits on Survivor. Yeah. I think it was probably that same kind of scenario. So that's really cool, really sweet. You know, and I'm glad that they're doing well. They both seem really happy. You know, he like officially asked her to be his girlfriend before he left for filming, which was super, super cute the way he did it. Like you can tell he's very much into her. And I will be the first to admit that when this first started, I was very, very weary. Like when we first heard about Horacio and Nerys, I was very weary and I was like, oh, I don't like this. Like, this is not going to be good for him. But man, she seems real freaking serious about this. Like I've talked to her like on a personal level, and I won't like divulge things that she said or anything, but she's super, like, they're super, super serious and into each other. So
that's good for them.
I'm super happy for them. I've definitely come around on the whole thing. I watching their kind of, you know, slow growth into this. It was very cute, very endearing. So I'm happy for them.
They're the relationship that you can't help but root for.
Yeah.
I think it was good for both of them with their slow start too. Like maybe Nerys kind of needed somebody to slow her start down a little bit.
Just ask Berna, booty police.
Oh my God. She wins my award for biggest blocker there is I've ever seen on the challenge.
Cock block and twat swat.
Clam jam.
That's messed up, dude.
When Nerys's confessional started, I thought she was going to call out Asaf because he came into the room first. He was not the issue.
Nope.
He was just going to lay down. He knew the deal.
Yeah.
He knows the drill. I mean, like you face the other way and go to sleep.
I was going to say, so here's my question. I want to ask you guys, what is the appropriate thing to do in that scenario? Do you just, you know, this is the scenario. It's like college life living. You're sharing a room with a bunch of people and this shit's going to happen. You just got to get over it. Or is it on the couple to get up and leave and go somewhere else?
If they're not going to get up and leave and try to find somewhere private to do it, and I don't want to be around it, I'm just going to go sleep on the couch.
Yeah. You either go to the common area or you put in earplugs.
Yeah. If I'm uncomfortable, I'm going to leave the situation. I'm not going to like yell at somebody to make them leave this. Like, that's weird.
Wasn't somebody sleeping there? Was it Colleen that was asleep there the entire time?
Yeah, she probably had one of like those like masks on and earplugs in. She didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
I feel like when you're in a new place, in this new house, like, wouldn't you want to go all over?
Yeah, probably.
Pick a spot.
Well, yeah, there's enough people that have dwindled down. There has to be somewhere private.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go to an ABC party, so there we go. On camera for the world? Are you fucking high? Yeah. No, bro. Nah, get the fuck out of here.
Fuck yourself.
I would go to an ACN party. All clothes necessary.
Yeah.
Right.
But with that being said, yeah, I mean, sorry. I just thought like Colleen sleeping with like earplugs in and one falls out. She's like, why is somebody clapping? Sorry.
Colleen probably has PTSD. She would know what's going on.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, yeah, her and Emmanuel. I forgot about that.
Here's the other thing though. Everybody wanted that one at once. Go for it, Alexis.
Mine will probably take us off on another trail.
In regards to Emmanuel?
Kind of. Okay, so not really about Emmanuel, but with Horacio and Nerys being together in this timeline of all this stuff, and then like the timeline of all this Twitter beef going on, do you think Horacio knows what's happening online with Nerys and his ride or die? Because I just like some of the verbiage that Nerys has said, I was just a little taken back by some stuff she dropped about Emmanuel and Olivia.
Yeah, that was a little wild. You know what I loved, though? Olivia's responses. Did you see those?
Oh, my God. She cracked me up.
She's like, I love you, girl. Heart emoji. I was like, oh, my God.
She put like, I think it was a quote from Mean Girls or something. And it was like, why are you so obsessed with me?
Yeah. Why are you so obsessed with me? Are you like
in love with me or something?
Yeah. Like, she's just making fun of it. She's just making a fucking joke out of it. And I think it's funny. And look, I'm not, I honestly cannot be Team Nerys or Team Olivia. I don't even exactly know what happens. I just think the whole thing is entertaining. And so I'm just sitting back with my popcorn and watching it. But anything beyond that, I don't fucking know. And I only say that because we get messaged all the time and they're like, you know, like, what do you think about everything? And I'm like, I don't think anything of it. I don't think shit of it because I was not there. I don't know what's happened. I don't know what's going on. Still, nothing has even happened in the show. They're still fucking friends. So I don't have no thoughts right now.
And that's the thing is, like, there's nothing that's been shown. And obviously something happened between where we've seen in this timeline to where we're at now. And it started a while ago, like, because I remember when the season hadn't even started and they were doing promo. Mm-hmm. Nerys was at a football game and she was looking at the poster and Olivia's on the poster and she talked about everybody on that fucking poster except for Olivia.
Yeah.
And that was back in like early, like mid-August or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And so it's been going on for a while and she's just now tweeting about it. Mm-hmm. So in my opinion is Horacio knows something happened.
Oh, so here's my other thing. Is that, and this is actually, you know, kind of leads us into the last part before we go into nominations, is that I think that, again, because we haven't seen everything, something also happens between Olivia and Horacio. So I think Horacio knows that there's drama between Olivia and Nerys, but I don't think he's actually seeing the actual tweets that are going out. But I think he knows that there's drama and there's issues because... you know, obviously, like we get the moment where Olivia starts talking about how she's starting to feel like Horacio doesn't have her back the way that she has his, and she's not even sure if they're really friends and all that. So it just leads me to think that there's going to be some sort of falling out between Olivia and Horacio. And so he probably knows that there's drama, you know?
That's the extent of my involvement with it.
Yeah,
I'm aware that drama exists, but it's like a special feature on a DVD that's like an extra 30 seconds of a scene that's in the movie. You're like, I appreciate that it's there, but they probably cut it for a reason. So I'm not going to watch it. In the same sense that, like, I know that there's beef and I know that they're going back and forth, but I don't know that I've read a single thing. I checked out at the Melissa, like, barrage of tweets about people. I was just like, I'm done. I don't need the special features of this season. I'm going to stick. I'm going to stick with the actual cut.
It's just pushed so much on my feed now. It's like, yeah, my phone hears me say the challenge, and it's like every the challenge page that I follow comes up.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I don't even have Twitter, but I saw all the tweets.
Same. I don't use Twitter either, but those fan pages on Instagram are quick.
Yeah.
They are
yeah.
quick to screenshot those tweets and bring them right on over to Instagram. And so I'm like, great, because I can't stand Twitter. Like, that place is a fucking cesspool and I will not deal with it. Fuck that.
I hang out for Survivor and that's it.
Yeah, I like to see the Twitter drama because it's entertaining. I can't deal with it's just too much. So it's like I appreciate the little flashes I get of Twitter land when those fan pages bring them over to Instagram. I'm like, oh, look, a funny tweet.
Horacio is in the best position possible being away for all of this right now.
He really is.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, I don't think it. Well, I don't know. It might happen the same way if he was still here, you know, with it being involved day to day. But OK, one other thing I want to talk about is, like, not only did Norice and Horacio get blocked up by Berna, but then she went and got Emmanuel from Raven. It's like, what are you doing, Hall Monitor?
Yeah.
Go to bed.
That one I almost understand more, because she's friends with Emmanuel, knows he has a girlfriend back home, and is more so doing it as, like, yeah, don't be an idiot.
He's already done it like 38 times. Yeah, so
that was
my but at the same time.
She's Sorry. Been monitoring him a long time ago.
Well, she's got a game to play as well. She can't be following Emmanuel around because from what we have established, he is hard to keep track of.
He's got hands all over him.
He's yeah. not even trying, though, from what I've heard. It's just they're all approaching him.
And they all
good
come
for,
to him.
It's true. Especially good yeah. for him. You know what I mean?
He's just desirable.
But I mean, here's my thing is, like, Berna, you're not in a relationship with him. Why do you care?
Yeah, like,
he's already done it so many times. What are we doing here? Like,
yeah,
just go to bed.
Just go to bed.
Fucking bed, Berna.
Just go to bed, dude.
And according to Raven,
not
and
many of them in the house, like, there's got to be a room where she could go with an open bed.
Yeah.
Just without people hooking up in that room. Surely there's an open room without somebody hooking up in it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing. It's like, from what Raven said on the official challenge podcast, like, they weren't even really doing anything, like, kissing, maybe, but right. they were standing up in, like, a hallway or
in the doorway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they weren't, it wasn't like they were having sex or about to have sex. I don't know. Maybe they were, but still, nonetheless.
Yeah. It's just, it's one of those where it's like, just mind your business. Okay.
Anyways, we took so long to talk about all the house drama because we get to the nominations and
it's over.
Raven gives a great speech about how she's going to fight and come back for blood. And then Zara says, hey, guys, guess what? Guess what? I'm just going to nominate myself. I'm going.
I'm going to self nominate myself. I was like, how many times are we going to say self? Like, you're going to nominate yourself. It's cool.
So
it's fine. It's dumb, but that's OK.
You just broke the first rule of the challenge. You don't nominate yourself to go
number
in.
Number one.
I'm like, wait, Wes didn't tell you not to do that?
I mean, Wes told her not to drink the shake, too.
Yeah, that's true. She probably learned not to listen to Wes.
She threw that notebook.
Look, I feel like she got kind of lucky on this one, that it was a Merc and she didn't have to go against Raven in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it would have been a lot closer than she thought. Anyways, we get into the elimination because that's the end of the fucking nomination.
Yeah, that's literally it. Yeah, yeah,
that's it.
So, Raven's R. There we go. So we go into the eliminations, but I'm going to bring this back up because we know the Merc coming in is Laurel.
Yeah.
What?
And how much of this show was dedicated to Michelle?
Dude.
Just in constant fear. And I'm sorry, but if you are so afraid of somebody, you cannot be a great champion of this game.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of fear and just absolute. She was fucking wrecked when Laurel came out.
Walked through. Yeah.
When Laurel hands in out. Pocket. Just complete victim.
So uncomfortable.
I thought it was hilarious because all these people are looking at her as the biggest threat. And then you just see like your biggest threat crumble.
Yeah.
She said she didn't even sleep the night before because she just thought that Laurel was coming.
Yeah.
Crazy. I appreciated the awkward back and forth a lot. It was very reminiscent of the like the interviews from Ride or Dies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, it was absolutely fucking great. And I loved when she was like, she said something like, I see it in our future. We're going to make up. And Laurel was like, okay, like, sure.
We've got the same friends. I'm looking out for them.
It's not going to help you.
Yeah.
She's like, I know.
Like, she was just so shook. Yeah. I've never seen someone that shook on the challenge.
Yeah, I've literally never. Like, that was crazy. I did not expect. And then I'm like, is she just like playing it up like for TV? Like, I don't know, but.
Or playing it up for Laurel to make Laurel think that she'd accomplished her tactic.
Yeah, I don't know. But at the same time, like, it didn't really look fake. So I don't know.
She didn't want Laurel to pull that chaos.
No.
Nope.
But the amount of times that they said Michelle was nervous about her pulling it made me think that she was going to pull it.
They totally threw us off. Like, they foreshadowed and then flipped that shit on us. So I actually kind of appreciate that. Shouts to production for that this week.
I want to ask you guys, because this is how I feel, and just curious if you feel the same way, is because of the way Michelle acted in this whole situation with Laurel, did it make you feel like she's almost coming off as a fraud, as like the main threat in this season?
No, she's socially connected. It's not a matter of her being a physical threat. And she's worried that Laurel's gonna pound her into the sand.
Yeah, it didn't really give me like fraud type vibes. I think that everybody is pretty much aware in the house that Michelle's strength is definitely social. However, totally. It is also her biggest downfall. And I didn't necessarily bring this up earlier, because it's just was such a small moment. But again, this plays into Michelle's, you know, mistakes that she makes in her game, is that there's a moment where it shows a scene of her standing in the kitchen talking to Kyland. And she's telling him, look, like, I know all these people from all these different seasons and their priorities are my priorities. And it's like, why the fuck are you telling people that, Michelle? Yeah. Shut up. Why are you bragging about that? That's not good in the game. And you literally just told Kylan that he's at the bottom of your list. And he is one of the most physical people in this game that can win dailies and put your ass down there. So like, so that's what I mean, is like, her social game is on point, but it is also also her biggest downfall every damn season.
Well, it's like Jay said too, like, to jump to the end a little bit, where he said like his alliance, social,
yeah,
strategic. The other group that seems to be assembling, fucking physical, can win dailies, can take people out in eliminations. Like,
it's gonna get interesting. It's gonna get really, really interesting.
Well, and here's my theme, is though, like, she's so like, I get it, she's got, you know, social following and she's got these numbers, but at any given time these numbers are gonna flip. This alliance is gonna switch, and she's gonna be made out to be not what she's showing in the house as a leader and as all of this. I'm sorry, because she's not. And she proves it every other season.
Yeah.
And right here. And my thing is like, even the fact that she is, you know, socially does so well in the house, and it curries a lot of favor. And you pointed out, she also kills herself and shoots herself in the foot. Her elimination record also shows that she's not very good at the challenge.
Right. Like the competition part, the physical part.
Not even the physical, because it hasn't all been physical. I mean, it's something as simple as like turning a wheel.
Well, I don't mean physical as in like head to head. I just mean physical as in like the competition part, like the, you know what I mean? Yeah.
I just don't think that the majority of these women should be scared of Michelle physically. This whole situation just shows that like she's not really as strong as she's putting up the front, because she's scared too.
Yeah. Right. And that's my theme, is I think someone like Olivia or Narice or one of these other girls from 38.
Any of them, I feel like, could beat Michelle in a physical thing.
And I honestly think they could also curry enough votes to get Michelle down there.
Yeah.
I don't think she's untouchable in this game.
I think that they're hanging back because she's being perceived as the figurehead. So they're going to let her fall. Like if the alliance flips, right? Like say the other side of the house gains the upper hand and they're going to throw somebody in.
They're going to go for Michelle.
They're going to go for Michelle.
Yeah.
And that's not going to impact Olivia or Nerisse or anyone like that, because Michelle's going to be the one that gets hit. And they probably think even if they're thrown in against her, that they can take her out. So why not let her be perceived as like the head of it all?
And who knows? Production might be fucking with us, and it's totally not a man that we're getting next week. We could be getting another woman.
Yeah, yep. We could.
You know, they could go back to back women, then back to back men.
I still think they're going to potentially do a double elimination at the end with the last two. Leather band
could have been Cara Maria. She would wear some shit like that.
True.
Fucking Captain Jack.
So true, though. Yeah. It could have been.
Could have been her.
Oh, man.
Those weren't her legs and feet, though.
No. Definitely.
Those are CT's legs and Cara.
Oh, my God. I just imagined Cara.
They Frankensteined the last three vets together.
Yeah.
It's just the best of each of them. Oh, CT's legs, Kara's bracelets, Brad's eyes,
Brad's beard.
And beard.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Anyways, so getting into this elimination, it's Raven Zara. Laurel comes down. We get the whole interaction with Michelle where she pisses her pants. And then Laurel unfortunately pulls Raven's.
Yeah.
And I was so disappointed because I would have rather seen Zara and Laurel. Because
I'd have rather seen chaos.
Yeah, and that's really I wanted. And that's how I know the challenge isn't rigged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to give anyone the opportunity to go after who they want, it's going to be Laurel.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So she gets Raven. We find out what I don't even remember what the name of the elimination is.
Oh, honestly. I don't even think I wrote it down. Sorry, I have no idea.
Chain Pole.
I was going to say The Chain by Fleetwood Mac. Go check it out.
I was going to say Chain Gang.
Gang Gang. Shout out to Corey.
We miss you, Corey.
But basically, they have to pull a chain that has been painted certain colors, like beige and...
It's called nude.
Nude. Salmon.
Yeah. Tan, yeah.
It's shorter. And less confusing.
Turquoise. You mean teal?
Oh, my gosh. Anyway...
Anyways, they have to do that. And the whole time I was just thinking of that scene from, what was it, Spies Lies with Ashley Mitchell, where she had to memorize the colors. And she was like, and everybody was helping her. And she was like, purple, green, red, blue.
Yeah. And everybody was chanting it with her. Like, that was awesome. Yeah.
But all right. So here's my thing. Do you think Raven wins without audience help?
It depends. I think that they did help. But at certain points, they also hindered because she's trying to remember her colors and everyone else is yelling colors. So I would be confused as hell. With that being said, of course, they're going to help because it's not even that they're helping Raven, because really they put Raven in, but they're protecting their $10,000. Like, of course, everybody is going to help keep $10,000 in the pot and send Laurel home. Without $10,000.
Right.
I think Raven had a good strategy.
Yeah. I think she had a better strategy.
I think she did too. Honestly, I think that there's a good chance that she could have won still, even without Kylan's help of helping her double check all the rows. I think that she still could have won because it was really weird. Like Laurel, as soon as she called that check and she knew that she was wrong, it was almost like she just like almost like panicked. And look, I know that things are different because it's like she's not in the season. It's different coming in as a mercenary and knowing like, you know, you're not playing for a spot in the game or really any like large amount of money. Not saying that $10,000 is like a small amount of money because it's not.
Yeah.
But you're not there playing for the $500,000 or something like that, you know, so you have a different level of motivation. So like, I get it. And she's going against Raven, who she's already like friends with and has a connection with. So I get that, too. But it just felt like when she called check, she just seemed like frazzled. She
short circuited.
Yeah. Like she didn't run over and start double checking her. Like that was like one of the first things like Raven did as soon as she realized that shit was, what did she call it? She said it was mad trippy. She's like, nah, this shit's mad trippy, bro. And she ran back over and started looking at the colors again. But like Laurel was just like, it didn't feel like she was fully in. So I feel like Raven could have still won even without the audience. But that could also be my bias talking. And that's weird to say because Laurel is my fucking goat. And I was literally rooting for Raven. That's how much I am fucking loving Raven this season.
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't care about all y'all out there that want to like be like, you know, say that Raven sucks and she's not a strong competitor and she's not adding anything to this season. You're fucking crazy.
Yeah. Also, you go compete again.
She is all of those things.
Thank you.
Yeah. And no, you can't because she's bringing everything people want. She's bringing drama. She's bringing competitiveness. She's entertaining.
Confessionals, like all of that.
She's got a sloppy social play in the beginning of the game that gets her fucked off every time. But I'm about it. Like she's entertaining.
Yeah.
And she's improving.
Yeah.
I agree. I think once Laurel knew it was Raven she was going against, she gave it one good try and then she was like, I don't care if I beat her or not. I don't want to ruin her experience.
Right.
Now, do I think she threw it?
No.
I just think she didn't go as hard as she normally would have if it would have been Michelle.
Right.
Did you find that Laurel's confessionals were a bit weird? Like her cadence was off almost. It was for whatever reason, when she was talking, it seemed like her pauses were all in weird spots. And I just I couldn't figure out what it was. And I've watched it twice in 24 hours, but it just seemed like she was just uncomfortable being there.
I feel like she talks like that sometimes, though.
Yeah,
I think it was just the fact that she wasn't in the game and she just came in and was done.
And then they're like, here, do this confessional. And she's like, what do you even say, you know, when you've been there for 2 hours? Like, what do you
did you ask a question?
Did you ask a question?
And then you lost an elimination.
You're there as a champ mercenary and you lost the elimination. Like, what are you fucking supposed to say? Like, you're supposed to brag about yourself at that point. Like, that's weird.
But so Raven wins. And it's impressive because she is now the fourth elimination loss for Laurel. Not technically the fourth person because Laurel lost a 2-person game last season. So thank you, Stats and Info. I'll give you the credit where it's deserved.
Yes,
we've double checked.
It's 4, not 3. Much respect to Corey Lay, but it is 4, not 3.
She beat Voldemort, and then she lost to Voldemort, and then she lost to Ninja, and then Anissa and Jordan on Ride or Dies, and now Raven.
Mm, yeah.
Yep. So it's her fourth elimination loss, fifth person. So,
but still,
that's a badge to wear.
Yeah. Go. And TJ Karina said this while we were watching it. TJ should announce the stats of these people, like at least the elimination records and daily wins.
When he announces like, oh, this is Laurel. She's been to done this many seasons, this many finals, this many wins. Why are we not also reading the fucking elimination stats? Because they're about to go in an elimination.
It's
why are we not reading those stats, too? They're not running against them in a fucking final. We know all the people showing up are champs. You don't have to
Kaz was 1-0.
Yeah, but
it's because the apprentice that was doing the stats last season has been reassigned to different departments.
It's not me, by the way. I just want that abundantly clear.
It's not Tony nor Lance.
Like, it just feels weird. It feels like they should be like TJ should be reading the finals and the elimination stats when it brings the chance.
I've always thought that the entrance from the mercenaries should be bigger, badder,
like it was for Jordan.
Yeah, I just feel like this is such a big deal. And like with the mercenaries they're bringing in, I just feel like the cast just like doesn't get it. Like they just are not, they don't know how big a deal it is.
They're going to.
They're about to.
They're
going to
learn.
They're going to learn. Today. Yeah.
Well, they're going to learn in a couple weeks for sure.
Look here. I'm not even a fan of this, but like take a page out of fucking wrestling and put some fucking pyrotechnics, shoot some fucking sprinklers or like, you know, the little 4th of July things off in the air. It's something. You know what I mean?
Get Darrell to spin around on the thing again and shoot those off.
Just walked out. She was like, he literally just walked out and waved. Like, are you kidding me?
I make that same walk when I go to the bathroom at work. Like, oh, hey, guys. Yeah. Sorry. It was being real.
Oh my God.
Like, same thing. Like, least make them jog out a little bit.
Something.
Make them do a power slide. I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's not on the vets either. Like, that's.
No, this is all on production, man. Yeah. All 100%, on production.
100%.
Just like you don't give Laurel this fucking elimination. You give her a balls in or a pole wrestle.
Same with Darrell.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Like, if they don't give CT not so fast,
I'm going to be so disappointed.
Like, they're going to give him something so stupid. They're going to give him like.
He's going to have to eat so many milk and cookies.
Oh, my God. If they do some stupid shit like that, I will be so pissed.
They're gonna make Kara do math problems.
I won't be terribly upset if they give him like one of the tangerines, but I will be livid if it's something fucking stupid.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
I hope it is just to come back and record that Friday with you just seething.
Oh God,
Karina will take that week off.
I wouldn't. I would have way too much to fucking.
No, think. We'll all take the week off, and Karina's just gonna have the microphone.
Karina's gonna retire from the challenge if they do that to that guy.
I'm just gonna rant for 2 hours about why they fucked over CT.
He's got some aggression he probably needs to take out right now. They need to just give the man a hands-on elimination.
I agree.
All right, so I've got one more thing I want to ask about this episode, and then I know you have another one too. Before we close this out, the first one I want to ask about is the fact that Jay mentions how he's so worried about this alliance of Horacio, Kylan, Zara, Raven, and more than likely possibly Colleen.
Colleen joining soon, yeah.
Which side are you on? Are you on the Jay side, or are you guys on the Kylan, Horacio side?
That one's tough.
I'm always going to ride for Jay, but that alliance of like basically the underdogs is hard not to root for.
Who aren't the underdogs.
I was going to say, it's the underdog team, and they're not even underdogs.
They're just the social underdogs.
Yeah.
And where I've wanted to root for the people who I like, but end up like kind of hoping that the other people win because they deserve it.
Yeah, exactly. It's I don't know. Yeah, I'm kind of sitting with the fucking outcast right now.
Where do you think Emmanuel lands in this?
Back in Romania.
That's fair. That's a fair answer.
I think right now, I think that as of right now, Emmanuel is still kind of tied in with the J Alliance. However, I think now that like Kylan and Raven and Colleen have kind of fallen away from that alliance, I think that now that obviously leaves new people at the bottom. And one of those people is going to be Emmanuel. And there is going to be potential for him flipping down the line in the game. Because he's now going to be at the bottom of their list.
Especially with his alliance with Berna, is what I'm thinking too.
Yeah, so I see a potential flip there as well. And I see a potential, like, house flip where the whole fucking power flips to the other side of the house because all of a sudden, Jay's alliance is now the minority.
I feel like it's almost just like the season 38 girls. It seems like Asaf and Ed and Jay are sort of doing their own thing. They're not, I don't see a lot of conversations with that group of girls and those guys. It's usually the guys and then the girls separate. So whether they're like passing notes to get everybody caught up or what, it seems like there is sort of another separation even within that. And I don't know if that's just how production is showing it or how I'm perceiving it, but I feel like the guys are sort of doing their own thing.
Well, we got that first cut in the opening, like episode zero, where the Ride or Die girls with Michelle and everything were like, no, it's going to be us. We want to win this.
They want a girl to win. Yeah.
And especially that it's a single season. And once we figure that out, you know, it's like we definitely want one of us to win it. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's hiding some information from some of the guys other than Jay. I think Jay knows exactly what's going on because of his relationship with Michelle.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's a good point. Yeah. I agree with that.
That's all we got.
Who you guys got for MVP? I think Raven, I know everybody. Yeah. I was going to say, are we just raving around the board? Because.
Yep. That's so Raven.
That's so Raven. My son watches that show.
Of that show.
I know my son watches it. Raven's house or whatever, Raven's home or something like that. Like, yeah, my son watches that. And he's gone back and watched the That's So Raven show, because I told him, I was like, dude, I used to watch That's So Raven with my little brother. And because it was like more my little brother's, like, you know, era. And so now he watches it like nonstop. All I like the time. It. It's cute. I like it too. I like the newer one where she, you know, Raven and them are grown up and it's the kids now. But anyway, sorry.
No, I'm good.
But yeah, no, that's funny.
God, I really am having a hard time saying MVP is Michelle's bladder from all the work she was doing, not pissing herself when Laurel came out. I'm going to go with Raven, though.
Yeah, no, Raven definitely owned this episode. You know, major shout outs to the daily winners. But Raven shined in this episode. I'm really liking this girl.
Oh, yeah.
I also just want to say good for her for making a storyline and like a name for herself, because when she was brought onto the show, she was brought by a guy who is like just kind of known for always having a female attached to him in some way. Yeah. So like, I'm just so glad that she didn't go out of the show as like the girl who was heartbroken by Johnny Middlebrooks. Like she came back and now she's like, who the fuck is Johnny?
Yeah.
Good old Johnny Centerstream.
Yeah, no, yeah. I love it. I love it. I'm super here for Raven.
100%. I'm on board as well. I think she's all got a fan out of all of us. Mm-hmm. With that being said, we hope we've made you guys a fan out of us, because that wraps up this episode of Challenge Panda our Podcast.
First episode of 2024.
What?
Whoa. Yeah, when this releases, it'll be releasing on January 1st, 2024. So we are actually recording this on, what's today, the 29th?
Yep, yeah,
the
29th.
The time I get it edited and everything, we are coming to you guys from the past right now, from 2023.
Greeting futuristic.
Greetings, Earthlings.
Yeah, greetings, Earthlings. We
trying to have for 2024.
We greet you in your quaint, quaint ways of life in the future. We hope everybody's has a phenomenal 2024. We look forward to breaking down the challenge for the next year, as long as shit keeps going and they keep putting it out.
As long as they keep putting it out, we will be here.
And even if they don't, we'll just talk shit about it.
We'll probably just still show up and talk about old challenge.
Yeah, we'll just go through all the seasons and recap them all.
Exactly.
Round tables.
We got fucking almost 40 of them. Let's go. Not including spinoffs.
Woo.
With that being said, for myself, Rick Hayes, my beautiful wife, Karina Hayes, Alexis, Tex Rawson, and Tony Stats and Info Lance, we want to thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you follow us on all of our socials, which will be listed down below, as well as make sure you're subscribed so you see when new episodes come out. And if you like what you heard, leave us a rating. If you didn't, hit us up at Biodomer at Instagram. I'm going to go before I choke to death. Thank you guys and good night.
Later.
Bye.